But Proverbs chapter 4, and this is a passage that I look at and read daily because it's one of those ones that really blesses me and has so much application, not only to my life, but to all of us. Proverbs chapter 4, we'll begin at about verse 20. Notice what it says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." There again, this passage reveals so much about God's word and how it is beneficial to us. Notice that he says that if we'll give attention to his word, incline our ear to his sayings, and don't let them depart from our eyes, but keep them in the midst of our heart, they're life to those who find them, and health. The word in Hebrew literally means medicine. They're medicine to all of our flesh. This is one prescription that I take daily, the word of God. And there's no interpretation that you can put on this scripture that will sway you away from the fact that God's word has great benefit to your physical body, because it literally says that his word is medicine to all of our flesh. And you look up those words in the Hebrew, that's exactly what it means. And so I always tell everybody, when it comes to healing, make sure you take God's medicine. It's free, and you can't overdose. Amen? Best part is it's free. You know, some prescriptions are pretty expensive. Now, we're not against doctors and medicine and all that stuff, certainly not. But don't rely on the doctor and neglect God's medicine, because God's medicine will heal your body. Now, there's a more important subject that we want to talk about this morning. Look at the next verse. Verse 23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Now, the word heart here is the old ancient word lab, which literally means the inward part of your being. It does not refer to the organ in your chest that pumps blood, but rather it refers to the hidden man, the part of you that is unseen. It refers to your spirit. It refers to your soul, psuche, your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions. Notice what the writer says. Keep your heart with all diligence. Another translation says it like this. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The New Living Translation says it like this. Protect your spirit. And so we are encouraged by the scripture to do some things to guard our heart. In other words, we want our heart to remain healthy. And you can allow the wrong things to get into your heart and it'll affect you. Now, in many things, there's a correlation between spiritual truth and natural truth, spiritual growth and natural growth. And, you know, in our culture today, there is a great problem with heart disease. And it's not because so much of genetics and things like that, but it's basically due to our diet, what we eat. And many times, you know, people have gone to the doctor and the doctor has told them, look, you need to cut out this, you need to cut out that, you need to cut out this, you shouldn't eat that, because it's affecting your body, and many times it can affect your heart. And so here are some things that medical science will tell us, just some basic things, and they're pretty much common sense, about staying healthy, keeping your heart healthy. First thing you got to do, first thing that's recommended, is that you maintain a healthy diet. In other words, you got to eat the right thing. You know, my wife and I were in Philadelphia a few weeks ago, and my stepson, Julian, loves Popeye's chicken. And so as we were going to the hotel downtown, and we were going to have dinner with Sarah later that night, But the next morning when we got up, we had to go to Popeyes. Anytime we go out of town, we go to Popeyes and bring home a big box of Popeyes chicken for Julian. And so we went to this Popeyes chicken place in downtown Philadelphia, and it was a little restaurant, but the place was packed. People were coming in and coming out. And so we had lunch, and we had ordered the chicken, and while we were there, my wife ministered to a guy who was homeless and begging for chicken, and so she bought him lunch and introduced him to Jesus, which was a wonderful thing. And while I was sitting there, I'm watching people come into the restaurant, and I saw a few people come in there, and I wanted to jump up and scream and say this: some of y'all don't need no more chicken. Because they were huge. With a capital H. Huge. And I'm laughing on the inside of me, not because it's funny, but I'm thinking, some people don't need no more chicken. All right? Because it's not good for you if you eat too much of it. Are y'all with me? And so you got to learn to eat right. Well, the same thing is true spiritually. If you're going to protect your heart or protect your inward man, you got to eat the right thing. Now, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And in its context, he's being tempted of the devil. The devil said, hey, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus responded with the word of God and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so we have been told, and Jesus was actually quoting from the Old Testament. He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, where God had said to the children of Israel, you know, I'm going to give you manna that you don't know anything about, that your forefathers knew nothing about. And he gave it to them so that they would understand that they don't live by natural bread, but they live by the word of God. And so he supernaturally provided it for them for over 40 years. And that's what they fed on. And they couldn't hoard it, because if they did, it would spoil. But the fact is simply this: if we want to protect our heart, our spirit, and our soul, we have to have a healthy diet. We need to feed on God's word. Brother Hagin used to say this all the time. He said, many people eat 3 hot meals a day, feed their body, 3 hot meals a day, feed their spirit, 1 cold snack a week, and they wonder why they don't have any power. We've got to feed on God's word. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. And let's notice something that Jeremiah said, and we'll talk about it here for a moment. Jeremiah is right after Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 15. And Jeremiah was very young when God called him to ministry, and he's one of the major prophets of the Old Covenant. But just like anybody else in ministry or in life for that matter, he faced opposition and challenges. And so he wrote in Jeremiah chapter 15, beginning with verse 15, O Lord, you know, remember and visit me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your enduring patience, do not take me away. Know that for your sake I have suffered rebuke. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Now Jeremiah, through his experience, is letting us know that even in times of trouble and persecution, we can find joy and comfort in the word of God. There is nothing more comforting, even when you're going through a trial, than locking yourself away in a room and it's just you and your Bible. And you can open up the word of God and find the answers to the challenges that you're facing. Not only that, find comfort, find direction, find inspiration. This is our spiritual food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There's one little fact about the Old Testament character that we read about and study, the man named Job. Now, we don't know when Job lived. There's not much written about when. We know that the book of Job is the oldest book in the Old Testament. That means Moses wrote Job before he wrote the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So where he figures in, time-wise, we don't know. The narrative doesn't tell us. But there's one fact about Job that is revealed. Not only was he a man of character and wealth and great influence, but the scripture says this about Job. He desired God's word more than he did his necessary food. In other words, Job would rather hear God's word than eat. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't eat. Sure, he ate. He kept his body healthy. But his priorities were such that God's word was never neglected in his life. Are you with me? We need a steady, daily diet of God's word. And you need to, if you have to get away from people, do it. But I try my best not to leave the house in the morning unless I've spent time in the word. Are you with me? Now, here's another aspect that we have to pay attention to. And the Holy Spirit said this to me many, many years ago. And it was concerning, you know, ministry and what I had to do. And he simply said this: protect your spirit from bad food and bad influences. It's the key to developing and maintaining strong Christian character. Protect your spirit from bad food and bad influences. How many of you know you can't eat everything? There are some people who have adverse reactions to certain foods. Some people are lactose intolerant. Some people can't eat, like my son. When my son was little, you know, you always try to get your kids to eat their veggies, right? And so I would put pressure on him. DJ, eat your vegetables, eat your corn. Now, I love green peas. And I would make him eat green peas because I like green peas. Every time he ate green peas, he threw up. And at first I thought he was, you know, doing it just so I'd quit putting peas in front of him. And I thought, come on now, you can't. Well, I didn't realize till many years later he was allergic to peas. And here I'm trying to force him to eat this stuff. To this day, my son, and he's 37 years old, cannot eat cooked green peas. Just can't do it. He'll throw them right up. Now, raw green peas in a salad, they're fine. And I found out my grandson, Hudson, has an issue with green peas. Well, I know he didn't get it from Grandpa, because I love them, okay? But there are times you have to be careful what you eat, because it may cause a reaction within you. Well, the same thing is true spiritually. You can't listen to everybody. Not because of them, but because of what they teach and what they preach or what they say. Because if it does not coincide with the truth that's revealed in God's word, it will mess with you. And it'll cause you problems. Are you with me? I remember many years ago, when I was an associate minister in St. Louis, there was another ministry that we held one joint service together, and I knew some of the people from these people's church, and the wife was the primary minister in this church. And I remember once they had a Bible college, and they asked me to come and do a marriage seminar. The first marriage seminar I ever did was in their Bible school. But they had a slant that they emphasized when they taught, and it was spiritual warfare. Now, we all understand about spiritual warfare. We know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But that term spiritual warfare has been twisted, and the scripture really doesn't emphasize it the way they do. Now, listen to me. Here's what she used to do. She had a radio broadcast on KXCN, which is the AM radio station in St. Louis. And all of the major ministries had a 15-minute broadcast because it was the Christian teaching station in the St. Louis area. And so I'd listen to her on the radio, and she made it so complicated. Now listen, I graduated from college. I graduated from Bible school. And I couldn't understand what in the world she was talking about. If you had a cold, you had to bind this and loose that and say this and do that. I thought you'd have to be an astrophysicist to figure this stuff out. But she made everything so complicated. And I thought, you know what? She has gotten away from the simplicity of the gospel. The Word of God is easy to understand. The problem is we have people to help us mess it up. Okay? The truth of the Word is so easy to understand. Now, did that mean she was, you know, evil? No. Does that mean that she was a false prophet or false teacher? No. It just meant she was a little confused. And so you have to be careful that you don't listen to people who are a little confused. Because guess what? You listen to them long enough, you're going to be confused. You listen to them long enough, you're going to be messed up. Have you ever wondered why Jesus said this again and again and again to his disciples? Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. He wasn't talking about bread. He's talking about what they taught. Because what they taught, if it gets into your spirit or inward man, will begin to grow. And pretty soon it'll affect many areas of your life if you're not careful. And so you got to protect your spirit from bad food. You know, the other day I went to a restaurant that shall remain nameless and got a sub, tuna sub. Shouldn't have done that. My wife will tell you, no, shouldn't have done that. I love tuna fish. I've eaten tuna subs all over the country, but I won't eat any more from there. Why? The food was bad. There was something in that tuna that my body said, better get this stuff out of here. Okay? Because it'll hurt you. Same thing is true spiritually. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful who you listen to. Because it'll get on the inside of you and affect you. Now, there are many applications to this. And the Holy Spirit said to me, protect your spirit from bad food and bad influences. It's the key to developing and maintaining strong Christian character. You know, you can be influenced by people. Not because necessarily of their teaching, but because of what they do. You know, there's some people you just don't need to hang around. Because that influence will rub off on you. Are you with me? I'm gonna say something that is just true. I don't mean to offend anybody or call anybody out. I won't mention any names, but I remember when I first moved back here. I got to be careful how I say this. But when I first moved back here and started ministering to people, I found myself ministering to women. They just pop out of nowhere who would tell me that certain ministers here in this town had sex with them and promised they were going to marry them and all of this. It was messy, all right? It's just messy. And so, you know, certain people had a reputation. And so I made a determined effort to avoid these people. Period. That's it. All right. Not getting any worse than that. And I remember a person said to me one time, so-and-so wants to meet you. I said, maybe I don't want to be met. Influences can have an adverse impact on your spiritual life. Are you with me? Be careful who you run with. You know, I realized when I got fired up for the things of God, turned on to Jesus, and started sharing with others, you know, what he'd done for me and how exciting it was and how the Word of God works in your life. There were some of my friends, they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear it because their life was set in a certain mode. They were going in a certain direction. I was headed someplace else. And so that didn't mean they stopped being friends, but I didn't have any time for them anymore. You know what I mean? Does that sound harsh? No, I'm just telling you the truth. Okay, because what they're doing was boring to me, and I didn't have time for that stuff. You know, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. I just pray for them that they wake up. Okay, because the Bible says that narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many are going that way. And so, you know, I'm not the kind of person to run with the herd. All right, I'm going to follow after the Spirit of God. I'm going to follow the Word of God. So we not only have to protect ourselves from bad food, we have to protect ourselves from bad influences. All right, our main course, our diet, should always be the Bible. The Scripture, the Word of God, in particular the New Testament. Start with Matthew, hang a right. You with me? These are letters written to born-again people. Doesn't mean you read your Bible 5 hours a day, but I try to get in the Word every morning. I've got the Bible on my phone during times during the day. I'll check my phone, and I'm not playing Candy Crush. I'm reading the Scripture. You with me? And nothing wrong with Candy Crush. I saw Candy Crush on TV last night. I didn't know it was a game show. What was that game show? Candy Crush. There you go. And by the way, if I'm one of your Facebook friends, don't send me an invitation to play any game because I'm not. Okay? Nothing wrong with games. I've got one game that I love, and that's chess. And so I play chess. I don't play Candy Crush or any of that other stuff. But I love chess. So, in fact, I checked this morning. I got 24 moves waiting for me today. 24 games where it's my move. So, I like that. It makes you think. But we need to protect ourselves from bad food, bad influences. Okay? Now, listen to me carefully. That does not mean that you abandon caring for people who need help. Are you with me? All of us have friends, relatives, neighbors, people that we're ministering to, and for all intents and purposes, just to keep this short, their life is jacked up. All right? Don't stop ministering to these jacked up people. They need Jesus, and you're probably the closest thing that they'll ever find. Minister to them with love, minister to them with compassion, and be strong enough in your spirit so that their lifestyle does not impact you, but rather you impact them. Are you with me? I'm not one of these people who teaches, well, you got to live holy. Well, you do have to live holy. But that doesn't mean that you run from sinners. No. How are you going to win them if you run from them? All right? But what I'm talking about is people who ought to know better. And they're not living according to the Word of God. And they want to influence you to abandon your lifestyle of faith. You need to set those people on the side. Are you with me? I'm talking about people who teach false doctrine. Who teach something that's a lie. You know, those are people that you don't need to listen to. All right? Now, I don't have a problem turning on some false prophet or, you know, silly person who's teaching error, and I can knock it right down. You know, sometimes I have fun with it. I really do, because I know I got them. I got them. I'll paint them into a corner, and then I'll just kindly give them what the Word of God says and give them Jesus. But do it in a loving way. Are you with me? But you got to be careful what you listen to. There is some stuff out there that's just not true. You ought to have enough sense to be able to filter that stuff through the Word of God. See, but if you don't spend any time in the Word, you'll never know. Now, the Spirit of God may alert you to some things. This ain't right. You better watch yourself. Okay? But it doesn't mean everybody's evil or bad. It's just sometimes they're confused. But if you listen to confused people, you will end up being confused too. Amen? All right. Here's another thing we need to do if we're going to maintain or keep a healthy heart. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We all know this scripture where Jesus taught about the mechanics of faith and how faith works. I think if anybody knew how faith works, it was Jesus. Notice verse 22, Mark chapter 11. Jesus said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you desire when you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Very powerful scripture. Jesus telling us the mechanics of faith, how faith works. But notice verse 25. "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." In order to maintain a healthy, vibrant heart. Remember, out of the heart or the core of our being come the issues of life. You've got to forgive. You must have a forgiving heart. If there's one thing that'll stop your faith from working and will be detrimental to your spiritual and physical health, it's unforgiveness. I remember years ago, I'll go back to my days as an associate pastor in University City, Missouri. We had I won't say worship leader, but we had a musician who would come and play for us on Sunday mornings. And he was our keyboard player. And he was a retired Lutheran pastor. And this guy was good. He was a great musician. He could play all of the choruses. He played all of the standards, the hymns, you know. This guy had a broad range of musical background. And he was very, very good, very talented. And so he was a great compliment to our worship team. But we noticed that every Sunday after we did our worship segment, and then we'd change gears in the service, he would go and sit in the back. And then just before the pastor got up to minister, he would slip out the back door. Now, keep in mind, we're paying this man. We're paying this man every week to play for us. And he's never staying for the word. He'd just go to the back and slip out. And so everybody saw it, and our church was really growing. We had gone now to 2 services on Sunday morning. But after that second service, boom, gone. I think by the time we got to 2 services, we dismissed him. But anyway, we knew something was wrong, and so the pastor and I decided to pay him a visit. And he worked at a midtown apartment building, and in many older cities you have these grand buildings, big buildings, and their security system was such that you went in and had to go to the front desk before you went to the elevator, went up to your apartment. So he knew everybody who lived in the building, but he was the guy at the front desk. And so we went in one time and just, you know, decided to chat with him for a little bit. And the pastor, Rice, said to him, said, "You know, I notice you're always leaving after the worship is over, and everybody sees you leave, and it really doesn't look good. You know, you're leading worship on the keyboard, and then you sit in the back, and just before you slip out the back door. You know, why don't you stay for the service? Why don't you stay for the word?" And he said, these were his words exactly. "Oh, I can't miss my tailgate sales." I thought, what did he say? Tailgate sales. Flea markets. And so every Sunday after he played for worship, he'd leave the service, get in his car, go out to some dusty parking lot, and sell junk and buy junk. Now, granted, you can find some gems in the tailgate sales and flea markets, but his priorities were way out of line. And he wasn't worshiping anyplace else. And we're paying this guy. And so finally, we dug a little deeper. We realized, you know, this doesn't make any sense. You're a retired pastor. And in Sundays, you're hanging out on these dusty lots. Well, we dug down and we found out that he was angry at God. He was angry at his denomination. And he was angry at the pastor who took his last church. And what happened was, he had grown this church to a good, vibrant body of believers, and somebody high up in the denomination decided to put one of their buddies in as the pastor and moved him out to a smaller church. Well, he quit and stopped worshiping because he was mad at the denomination, he's mad at the guy who took his church, he was mad at the guy who put the pastor in the church, and he was mad at God. And so we shared with him what I'm sharing with you, brother. You got to forgive. You got to forgive. He wouldn't do it. He was bitter. He was angry. And so we couldn't use him as a keyboard player. You know why? Because that stuff spreads. That stuff spreads. He was unrepentant and unforgiving. Dangerous way to live. Now, let me drive this point home. You're in Mark. Back up to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And there's an account here that is so appropriate, and we've got to understand the import and how dangerous unforgiveness is. Matthew chapter 18. We'll start with verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he'd begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold, that means all of his property, and he was going to have to work the debt off, with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Notice, forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So this fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, listen, here is the comparison so that you can understand the import of this message. The 10,000 talents was a sum equivalent in our modern currency of $9,250,000. That's how much he owed his master. Over $9 million. His master had compassion on him and forgave the debt. Wiped the slate clean. Forgave him of a $9 million debt. Then this man goes out and finds another man who owes him, in modern currency, $15. And he said, give me my money. Pay me what you owe me. And the man fell down at his feet and begged him and said, please, have patience with me and I'll pay you everything. But he wouldn't. Had him thrown in jail. Well, when the master who forgave the huge debt heard about it, notice what happened. Verse 30, and he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry, and he delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. And Jesus said this, so my heavenly Father also will do to each one of you if you from your heart do not forgive his brother his trespasses. We don't have a choice. We must forgive. Listen, We've been forgiven of so great a debt, our sin. How can we honestly hold anything against anybody? We can't. We must forgive. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Unforgiveness will stop your heart, your spirit, from functioning as it should. Now, many times you do your best to make amends with people. You try to build bridges with people, and it just doesn't work. Not because of you, but because of them. All right? Remember what we taught about what to do when offense comes our way? All right? Love them. Bless them. Do good to them. Pray for them. Do your best to build bridges, but sometimes you just can't. And so sometimes you have to love people from a distance, but you got to let it go. You got to let it go. Now, I remember when I was about 20, 21 years old, my first job after I graduated from college was as a manager trainee. And some of y'all will remember the store chain. Others of you, you'll just draw a blank. All right? G.C. Murphy Company. Y'all remember G.C. Murphy's? They had big stores downtown in most cities. Well, my first store was in Meadville. And I was a manager trainee. I was shocked when I got there because most of the employees had worked in that store longer than I had been alive. I'm 21 years old. They'd worked there for 45 years. I remember the woman who trained me. She was a manager trainer. She's a little woman. I mean, she's like 4 foot five or six. Little woman. Philomena Fronsello. And she's about 80 years old. And she had worked at that store for 45 years. And so I'm just soaking it up because, you know, I'm not going to come in there and tell these people what to do. I'm a green pea. And so I got transferred from Meadville to Newcastle. Newcastle had two stores, one downtown and one at a mall in Newcastle. And we had a security coordinator. His name was Larry Smoke. And Larry was an older man, and I always remember Larry because he's the only man I ever knew who had a white afro. This brother's hair had turned white, and he had a full head of hair. He had a big... See, some of y'all think you know what an afro... You don't know what an afro is. We had the real fros back then, I'm telling you. He had a big white fro. So we called him Smoke. Now, his job was loss prevention. Catching shoplifters. Now, it's kind of funny because that brother stood out every place you saw him. You know, you got this brother with a big white afro. How can you sneak up on anybody? But he taught me how to catch shoplifters. Because if he was at one store, I had to do duty at another store. And I got good at catching them. Anyway, that's another story. But one day, Larry Smoke caught a young guy stealing an afro comb. Not a pick, but the comb. This comb retailed for 69 cents. And so he's trying, and we had a procedure. You'd get the person in an office, you'd call upstairs to the operator and ask for a 500A or a 500J. That means call the police, I got an adult or I got a juvenile. The police were right down the street. They would come write him a citation. And then their name would get in the paper. And that was more devastating than the citation. But anyway, this one day, Smoke calls for help because he's got a young guy in the office who he caught stealing an afro comb. And so we get a call, me and the store manager, you need to go help Mr. Smoke. He's having a problem. So we got down to the office, which is right near the restaurant. Some of y'all remember G.C. Murphy's, they had the restaurants. And we hear all this thumping and bumping, chairs flying off the wall, desk flying, boom, bang, boom, boom, boom. And so we open the door, and there's this big, muscle-bound guy throwing Smoke around like a rag doll. Had Smoke laying on the floor, half a handcuff laying off his hand. He threw the chair upside the wall, and he turned around and he looked at us. He said, I know y'all ain't gonna do nothing. He looked at the store manager and said, you too old. And then he looked at me and he said, I know you ain't going to do nothing. And I'm thinking in my mind, I said, you right? You right? I mean, just in a nanosecond, I made a decision that it was better let this guy go than to get beat up over a 69-cent Afro comb. Now, there are some things I'm willing to fight for, but that ain't it. And so when he looked at me, he said, I know you ain't going to do nothing. I didn't say it, but I'm thinking, you're right, brother. And so he came to the door, and I stepped aside, and I let him go. Now, what's my point? When it comes to offense, when it comes to things that people have done to you, let it go. Let it go. It's not worth it. Are you with me? Hey, take the comb. I don't care. See you later. But I never will forget that the longest day I live. You too old, and I know you ain't going to do nothing. I said, you right. Not for a 69-cent Afro comb, I'm not. Well, listen, when it comes to unforgiveness and people who've offended you, let it go. Let it go. Keep your heart healthy. Don't walk around and live your life with bitterness and unforgiveness. I don't care who it was. I don't care what they did. Get over it. You with me? Get over it. Let it go. Now, it might take you digging into the Word and confessing the Word and confessing how much you love them and forgive them. Because sometimes, every time you see them, your body will react. Adrenaline gets to pumping. Hair stands up on the back of your neck. That's when you need to put the Word of God in your mouth and say, no, I've forgiven them, and I love them in Jesus' name. And I just pray that your purpose and plan would be realized in their lives. Father, bless them. Bless them. Find a way to do something good for them. You with me? Let it go. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Let's look at one last scripture, and then we'll close with this. Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Keys to having a healthy heart. The Bible says, protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the forces of life. One translation says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Psalm 61. And here's a very, very appropriate passage. If you got it, say, I got it. Okay, let me catch up to you. Psalm 61. Here we go. All right, listen to what the Scripture says. Hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that's higher than me. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Now, the psalmist who wrote this passage was David, the king. And as he's facing challenges, he realizes that there is a safe place for him. And it's in the presence of God. And he says, O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. Talking about himself. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. In other words, he realized that there was an important part of his life that he had to do daily. And as he performed his vows daily, that is his obligations that he's committed to God, he knew that worship was an integral part. That's why the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. He wasn't perfect, but he knew where to go. And daily, he incorporated worship as a part of his life. If you want to maintain a healthy heart, you need to engage your heart with the Lord's daily. Engage your heart with Him daily. Listen, in order to maintain any healthy relationship, there has to be daily communion. You with me? What kind of marriage would I have with my wife if I went home and we didn't talk? We didn't commune. We didn't fellowship with you. Something's wrong. Are you with me? And so there's daily communion. Same thing is true with your spiritual life. Have that daily engagement. Allow your spirit to engage with the Holy Spirit. Allow your spirit to engage with the presence of God every day. See, this is where you come to get refilled, to get the Word and be ministered to by the Spirit of God. But this is not the end all of your spiritual life. I certainly hope not. Are you with me? That'd be like eating one meal a week. You only eat on Sundays. Well, I don't think any of y'all do that. If you did, you'd weigh about 80 pounds. Okay? You need to eat every day. You need to fellowship and commune every day. You need to engage your heart with the Lord's every day. That's how you exercise. You with me? If you want to maintain a physical, healthy heart, eat right, exercise, and keep unforgiveness out of your life. Because it'll affect you physically. See, I never want to be in a position where my prayers don't work and my faith is non-effective. No, I need my faith to work every day. Because faith is a way of life. All right? I want to be able to pray and produce fruit. Jesus said, "So shall you be my disciples." But in John chapter 15, he said that you may bear much fruit. All right? People will know you're his disciple by the way you love. Amen? Keys to a healthy heart. I don't know about you, but I got a lot of work to do. All of us do. Amen? And I want to stay healthy when I do it, physically and spiritually. See, you can be physically healthy, look good on the outside, but see, God looks and sees what's on the inside. That's why you got to be careful. You know, we're not impressed by flash and dash and all that stuff. We're impressed by character and integrity and what's on the inside of somebody, not how they dress. Amen? Jesus said to the Pharisees one time, "You look good on the outside, but on the inside, it's like a tomb. You're full of dead stuff." Now listen, whatever's in your heart in abundance will come out. It will affect the way you live. Especially in a pressure situation. See, when the pressure's on, it's like toothpaste. I was getting ready this morning. I went in the bathroom and somebody had used the toothpaste and squeezed it from the top. No, you're supposed to squeeze it from the bottom. You are. You push it all up. You don't squeeze it from the top. But I didn't say anything. See, but my point is simply this. When you squeeze the toothpaste, something's coming out. And so it is with life. When the pressure gets on you and you're squeezed from every side, what's on the inside of you is coming out. Let it be godly. Let it be Christ-like. Amen? Pressure sometimes is a great character revealer. It doesn't build character, it reveals character. All right? Let the sweetness and the fragrance of God come out of you in pressure situations, not all that other stuff. Amen? Hey, let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. All right. Nope. Having a little technical difficulty. All right. Pat, I got to show you how to work this thing.